Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking a little bit about how you can create better looking prints and how you can make more sales to your clients. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Learn Landscape Photography Podcast. In today's episode, super excited to share with you a little conversation I had with Randy Hopfer, the owner of HD Aluminum, which is a metal print shop located in Vancouver, Washington. Now, this time of year, I mean, it's when this episode comes out, I think it'll be beginning of July. There's going to be a lot of art shows coming up. I know there's a lot of landscape photographers that want to figure out how they can monetize their photography and make a little bit of money. And doing prints and art shows and stuff like that is definitely a great way to do that. But there's a lot that you need to know about printing, and whether you've printed images before or you're brand new, it's not simply just as easy as sending the image to the printer and it pops out perfect. There's a lot of things that you need to do in order to fix your image, make it look really nice on prints. Now, Randy is an absolute expert. He was a photographer before owning the print shop. I mean, he still is a photographer, but now he owns the print shop. Obviously, he's seeing hundreds of images a day coming in. So he's got a lot of great advice and feedback for us on things like how to send your image in for printing, as well as some things that you can do in order to sell more images, different photos that sell, all that good stuff. So in this episode, we're kind of talking all about selling artwork, printing artwork, all that good stuff. Like I said, it's talking with Randy Hopfer, owner at HD Aluminum, which is a print shop in Vancouver, Washington. So anyways, here is my conversation with Randy Hopfer. All right. Well, I am really excited today to welcome Randy Hopfer, owner of HD Aluminum Prints, to the podcast. I personally have done a lot of printing at HD Aluminum in the past, and I'm always really amazed at the incredible quality that is coming out of your shop there. And I do think that, Randy, I'm sure you have a lot to offer us in terms of your expertise. Will you start by just telling us a little about yourself and the shop for our listeners that might not be familiar?
Sure. So first off, I actually spent about 30 years plus in the corporate world. So working with a large multinational in worldwide operations and project management. So I developed a broad range of skill sets just for managing business, understanding markets and manufacturing and lots of different things. And it was on a business trip. Actually, when I was 40 years old, is fairly late in life in my eyes, that I actually discovered photography. And so it made such an impact on me that my love for photography basically became, you know, a bigger part of my life. And I said, you know, when I leave the corporate world, I want to do something photography related. And that's kind of what led to the print shop. You know, I started doing photography, made prints in the darkroom, cut my own mats, made my own frames, and then did art shows around the Pacific Northwest at a variety of venues. And I just fell in love with seeing my work printed big. So that really drove my love for printing.
That's perfect. And that's honestly more than I already knew about you. And I think that even overqualifies you even more for some of the stuff I want to talk about today. But I want to cut straight to the chase here. So I know owning a print shop, you have to be looking at hundreds of images a day. Is there a common mistake that you see a lot of photographers making that really has an effect on their final printed piece?
Well, you know, there's so many things you can do right and so many things you can do wrong. And the way I view this is a artist's art really is measured by their eye, you know. So I never assume one way or another what an artist's intent is. We will have discussions with them and help them gain the experience to be able to make better prints every day. I think the thing that probably is the most difficult for people that are new to printing is just the processing of an image. I think it's really important, and people don't think about it, but you may calibrate your system. Maybe you have a laptop and you calibrate it, And then you're working up your files in different lighting conditions. I think it's very important to do your processing in the exact same way always. And controlling the ambient light hitting your display has a huge impact on the brightness or darkness of how you edit an image. And your colors can be off a little bit and still the print will look good. But if your color tonality, if your brightness and darkness is off, then it can really kill a print. And so I think the most important thing is just to learn to edit your images within your, you know, a constant work environment, and then do test prints. There's no way you're going to get perfect prints or really good prints without doing some test prints and kind of learning how your print and or your editing environment matches up to the print lab's output. So I think that's probably one of the most important things that people really don't think about.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a great response, and even something that I don't really necessarily think about, but I guess I should, about always staying in that constant environment, you know, constant screen brightness, constant room brightness, and all of that. You did mention color calibration. I'm curious if you have a recommended device for people to use. I know there's a lot of them on the market, but as someone who is definitely doing this kind of work and seeing this kind of work all the time, do you have a recommended brand or device for color calibration?
You know, I think just about any, there are a lot of different devices. And, you know, you can pick up, probably a decent color calibration system for $200 to $300. And I don't know that any one brand is better than the other. I've always used the X-Rite products in different varieties as, you know, over the last decade or so. And again, you know, for $200, $300, you can calibrate your monitor and your display. But really, equally as important always is, again, learning to edit and then doing test prints, because the color calibration gets you only so far. And you can do, you can look at gamut range and all kinds of things like that on your display if you're doing soft proofing. And that's a whole nother skill set. However, unless you get to really doing a test print, you still don't really know how your editing is going to transfer to a particular medium, because paper prints are different than canvas, which is different than aluminum. So I think any product will get you there. It's just then following on and being very, I guess, process driven on your editing.
Yeah, that's great. Makes a lot of sense. So I know, obviously, working at the shop, you're seeing a lot of what's going out the door. And I know that depending on the person, this is going to be different. But for photographers, especially for landscape photographers, what kind of prints are going out the door the most? Like, what kind of prints are people mostly selling? Are we talking close-up abstracts? Are you seeing a lot of, like, popular locations? Like, that's a really broad question, but take it however.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a really good question, though, because my photography style probably isn't too, it's probably not too aligned with being the perfect images for sale, because I like to shoot everything. If it moves or doesn't, I like to photograph it.
Yeah.
And when I was doing art shows, I loved to do wildlife, but wildlife didn't sell as well as landscape. I mean, right now, 90% or better of all the prints we do are landscape or wildlife photography, with the far greater number being landscape. And I think it's more about maybe the selection of your images and trying to come up with something that looks somewhat consistent throughout your entire display. So, for example, I would photograph and sell I would photograph items that represent the area that you're trying to sell. I almost said the area you're trying to live, but you might be selling around the Northwest, for example, or in the Southwest. I would photograph subjects that your customers are familiar with. Something that gives them a happy, warm feeling, comfort feeling that they might want to put in their home or maybe their business. They might be looking for, you know, multiple of prints to go inside a business. And I think within that, I think it's important to consider printing maybe bigger than you might think, because with metal prints, people will buy big prints. And then the next thing is to think about your aspect ratio. So believe it or not, the panoramic shaped or horizontal panel prints sell really well relative to a standard 2x3 or 4x5.
They fit in a lot of spaces. That maybe
right. And they just have a whole different feel. Exactly. If you take a 1x2, you know, 1:2 ratio or 1:3 ratio, I think 1:2 is probably the best if you're going to just pick one. And then what you'll find is that when you start cropping with that aspect ratio, it really helps you refine the focus in your composition so that the most prominent part of your image is actually, brought out in the image. And by using that aspect ratio, then you're going to get some really cool cropping and really cool looks that can print big. You know, aluminum is shaped 4 foot by 8 foot, the aluminum we print on. Uh-huh. So with a 1:2 ratio image, you could print a 4 foot by 8 foot print. And it just gives you more flexibility to print really big.
Yeah, that's perfect. And a lot of what you just said might kind of lead in well to the next question I have, which I know you guys, I'm sure that you're working with a lot of people that were kind of in the same boat that I was in probably 6 or 7 years ago when I started up at HD Aluminum. You know, I wanted to make some prints. I wanted to do some art shows and stuff, but I kind of didn't have a direction. And I knew I wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure exactly where to start. Do you have any advice for any listeners that are maybe in that spot where they want to start selling prints, but they just need some advice on where to get started?
Well, gosh, it's such a broad question, but I can just go from my experience. The first thing to realize is that it's a lot of work. It's hard work to produce prints, to go out and sell your prints, to fulfill orders. It can also be a lot of fun. And it's, if you like that type work and you want to watch your business grow, I think it's important to realize the amount of work and try to minimize it. So, for example, I started out hauling my artwork and my display in the back of my pickup with a canopy. And it was like I was limited on what I could carry, limited on what I could show, but I made it work. And then over time, I decided, oh, you know what I really need is a small trailer. So that I can, because I was still had my corporate job. I would, I'd go out and show until, if I was in the Seattle area, till 10 o'clock at night, get home, have to go to work the next day. So I started using a small trailer that I could just leave my display and all the artwork loaded up. I could get home, just unhook the trailer and I'm done. I'm unloaded. So it's think of ways to simplify the amount of work that you do. Is probably one of the things to consider that, you may or may not. But then again, plan to try to make at least one bigger print. And I would call 40 by 60 inch size a big print. It becomes your billboard and you will be amazed at how many you sell. People, you often think, oh, I need to have something people can afford. Well, there's a lot of people that can afford a 40 by 60 print. And it also helps you show really well to potential customers coming in, like I say, that may have a business and they want bigger prints.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I've kind of learned, because I was in the boat when I started and I printed so many 20 by 30s and 24 by 36. And now it's like when I'm printing for an art show, I very seldom print those sizes, because what I've found is that if someone is worried because they can't afford that big 40 by 60, if they're in a spot where they're even thinking about, I don't know if I can afford this or not, they're probably not in a spot where they can pay $300 or $400 for a little bit smaller print, because that's a lot of money for artwork. So it's just so much easier to sell those big prints. And in addition, like if you sell that 40 by 60, that's a good chunk of change. Whereas if you're out there and you're selling 12 by 18s and 18 by 24s, I mean, you're definitely not making as much per sale. So that print big is, that's great advice.
No, you're absolutely right. And the other thing I would say is don't undersell your work. A lot of people, as they're starting out, thinking, oh, you know, I just want to double my, you know, my what I pay. And what you find is that it is a lot of work, and you have many expenses, travel, a variety of expenses that you don't think about. So make sure you charge 3 to 3.5 times what you pay for the piece of art at a minimum. And, you know, some people that have galleries might be 5, 6, 7%, you know, times the markup just because their expenses are very high. Yeah, but don't undersell your work, because then you're losing ground. You're not making ground, and you really want to grow your business and continue to support the fun that you have with your photography.
I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook, where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. One thing that I see with a lot of my workshop clients, and I know a lot of listeners probably struggle with the same thing, and probably a lot of people that print at your shop also have the same issue, is kind of the file preparation before printing. And I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of it, but I personally have always resized and sharpened my image before sending them off to the lab. Is this still the best way to go, or do you have a better recommended way that photographers do that?
No, I think that's absolutely the best way. I think what I would say is make sure you do all your editing in either a TIFF or RAW format. Never do your heavy editing in JPEG. And there are a multitude of sharpening methods. So what I would do is exactly what you said. Size your image to actual print size and talk to your lab. For us, it's 300 pixels per inch. So size your image to, say it's a 40 by 60 at 300 pixels per inch, and then do your sharpening, because then you can actually see the size of the pixels and how much sharpening to do. You can make a better decision. I always enlarge 1-to-1 ratio, you know, 1-to-1 size or 100% size on my display. So I'll zoom in. I'll show the ruler on my, say, Photoshop, and I will zoom in till my 1 inch on my display is about equal to 1 inch. And then I look at the pixels, and I never want to over sharpen. So whatever method you choose, and there are lots out there, you can do web searches or check, you know, others that are that have more detail about that online. But then I like to sharpen to where you just, you know, you see that it's sharpened, but not quite zoomed in 100%, so that when you actually view the print, it just won't look over sharpened. It's just going to look really, you know, it's a lot more natural looking.
Yeah, that's great. And I think one thing that you brought up was the PPI or DPI. Do you guys actually print at 300?
Yes, we print at 300 pixels per inch, and not to confuse the dots per inch, which is a whole different measure of what the printhead performance is. But we actually use files that are 300 pixels per inch, and you can save that as a JPEG. In almost every situation, a JPEG will print equally as good as a TIFF file. You won't see a difference in the print. There are very, very, very few exceptions to that rule. So that's why it's a whole lot easier to transfer a JPEG, over the internet to a lab, especially if you're ordering, multiple really big prints. We do have a process for managing TIFF files with customers, and some labs do. But you really don't need a TIFF file. If you prefer it at HD Aluminum Prints, we can certainly work with that.
Yeah, that's great. Not every shop prints at that 300 PPI, correct? There's some that are less, which you wouldn't want, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I would also, I would also make sure you're working in a large color space. And we don't have to dive deep, but use either Profoto RGB or Adobe 98 RGB color spaces. If you're using just a standard sRGB, then you're constraining the amount of color. A lot of labs tell you to switch your file to an sRGB, and that's because they're printing less colors, and maybe it's easier for them to manage, but you certainly are minimizing the vibrance you're going to get out of your print.
I didn't even know that. That's great. I know there's a couple different ways to print on metal. Will you speak to this? Is that correct that there is multiple different ways that people are printing on metal?
Well, I would, yes, there are. But what I would say is if you are using a lab that prints on Chromalux, and I really believe that this is key. Chromalux is by far, the best aluminum print product in the world, in my opinion. There's nobody that produces a better quality coating in a such a high tech environment, and they have so many different finishes, and they continue to invest in R&D to bring out new products. So we carry five or six different finishes, and the process we use is dye sublimation. There are places that you can print onto aluminum and then put a laminate over, but you're dealing with the laminate that, is just not going to last. The Chromalux coatings are rated at 60 plus years indoors, and they're really durable. I mean, they're fairly scratch resistant. The vibrancy is incredible. The multiple layers of coating that go on give almost a depth feel that you're going to get with the aluminum that you just won't get on, acrylic paper canvas. So really, if you're printing onto a Chromalux product, that's the absolute best print process on metal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's a lot of my clients and workshop people out there that are like, well, can I just get it printed at, Costco, Walmart, whatever? Like, you will not see the same quality. Trust me, you definitely want to go to a lab, like you said, that's using that Chromalux, it's using that dye sublimation. You don't want the laminate. So that's huge. Make sure you do your research so that you're getting that really high quality print.
Yeah, and I would say one other just very important fact, and that is that most of the people doing dye sublimation printing are using Chromalux. But that doesn't mean every print on Chromalux is the same. So a print on Chromalux each lab has its own formula. And there are a couple things. You can either microwave a print, so print it fast, or you can slow cook a print and cook it slower. And we slow cook prints. We take overall probably twice as long to make a print with all of our different processes as maybe the average lab. And some labs just want to produce fast. Like you said, maybe it's a lower pixels per inch. They are printing at faster speeds. They're doing different things to increase their output, but quality suffers every time they make a decision to go faster. And so that's why some of the places that you mentioned, their prints don't seem like they're up to par. And that's just because they're out to go fast and cheap, and quality isn't as important because they're trying to hit a mass market. Not that they're providing a bad service. It's just not the best print.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It just serves a different audience. But for people that want to sell their prints, that's not that's not the route you want to take. So that's great. So I've personally always been a big fan of printing on metal. But it's no secret that it is a little bit more expensive to print on metal than it is on paper or canvas. Would you just talk about, I'm sure you have an opinion on why metal is advantageous. Would you tell us what's so special about printing on metal?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to go, there's a few things. So number one, and probably the most important, is that the end customer loves a metal print better. I mean, lots of things I could say about why I love metal, but if I had metal aluminum prints when I was selling, you know, I never had people come into my display when I was printing on paper and had a matted and frame print and say, how big can you go? Well, you hear that all the time about metal prints. How big can I get this? And so that's the most important thing about metal prints, is you will outsell paper in most situations. Say you're at the art shows or art festivals, aluminum will outsell paper, canvas, and acrylic every time. If you just talk to all customers and all the different artists trying to sell, metal is going to outsell because the end customer absolutely loves it. It's so vibrant and it's durable. It just, for me, it's a better value in that the customer doesn't have to go buy a frame. The customer can spend that money on a bigger print. And quite honestly, it seems like metal prints are more expensive, but the most expensive print you'll ever buy is the one you hang on the wall that doesn't sell.
Absolutely. That's great.
So I think, you know, there's just lots of good reasons on why the prints are better, you know, technically. But, you know, they all offer something different. Acrylic might offer, it has some advantages over aluminum. So does paper. So does canvas. But I think collectively, the metal just will outpace all the others as far as sales.
Absolutely. And I personally, if you're a photographer out there that is trying to get started doing art shows and whatever, me personally, I love metal prints. Just in addition to everything that Randy's mentioned, I personally love the metal prints because they're durable. You know, if I accidentally drop one, maybe the corner might get a little dinged, but it's not going to be like a frame where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just shattered this thing. It's garbage now, or I got to go get it reframed or whatever. Like, the metal is just durable and it's lightweight. People at shows, for me at least, they always want to pick it up and hold it. They're like, oh, can I see this? How heavy is this? Oh my gosh, it's so light. I could hang this by myself. I don't even need to have somebody come help me. And like, it's light. It looks nice. There's so much to love about metal. I'm seriously a huge fan. So worth considering if you are looking to get started. I definitely think metal is the way to go. The one thing that I think a lot of people do ask me questions about is about the finishes on metal prints. So I know you guys have all sorts of different finishes, and I'm guessing probably 95%, if not more, of what you do out of your shop is probably glossy. But is there a time when you would recommend either the matte finish, or you guys have like a silver finish, or any of the other finishes?
Yeah, great question. And so your first comment, 90% or so being glossy, probably was the case initially. But what people are finding is that the semi-gloss and the matte finish, and so let me back up half step. So there's either a white-based print or a silver-based print. So white-based is like printing on white paper. You're going to get great color. The silver-based, anything white becomes silver, and it just gives kind of a metallic sheen, but color accuracy is lost.
And the white is what you normally see most of the time, right?
That's right. So the white gloss, I'm going to say, maybe 70% of our prints are white gloss. More and more people are printing on and loving the semi-gloss. The semi-gloss, I like to say it has 70% of the pop of the gloss. And, you know, a gloss print is what I call the eye candy of prints, right?
Absolutely.
And so it gives you 70% of the pop, but cuts out 70% of the glare. And so it really represents well in multiple lighting conditions. And then the matte finish, I never used to promote much, but more and more I'm becoming a huge fan of the matte finish in certain situations. We just remodeled, you know, an ensuite bathroom, and it's got lots of mirrors and lights and glass and windows, and every one of those light and reflective surfaces is bouncing light around. And I tried a gloss print in there and I couldn't even see it. And so I put matte images in of some of the Canadian Rockies, you know, the green and green water lakes, and my goodness, they're just beautiful. I enjoy them every day because I can see them. So I would never fear the matte or the semi-gloss, you know, depending on the lighting. And a lot of prints just look really good on matte, you know, that just naturally, that maybe of something you would print on a matte paper or a satin paper. Maybe it's not a photograph. Maybe it's a painting. There's just the different finishes give you a lot of options.
Yeah, that's great. And something to definitely check out.
Well, one more add to that is, we just introduced a brand new product that is not really on the market yet. It's an outdoor rated metal print from Chromalux. And these are rated at 10 plus years in direct sunlight. I mean, just amazing. And for that particular product, I love the matte finish. Because you're going to just in direct sunlight, you're not going to have all the reflective issues.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Truly your lighting source is kind of the most important thing when you're choosing your finish.
Absolutely. That's great. Wow. So much great information here. Like I said, I don't want to take too much of your time. Thank you so much for being here today, Randy. I think there's just some such great information on here for anyone that wants to start printing. Would you kind of wrap us up here and tell us where we can find out more information about the shop, HD Aluminum, where you guys are at, how we can order from you, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, certainly. If you type into the URL on your browser, it is hdaluminumprints.com. And we're located in Vancouver, Washington. That's actually our business name. There are a lot of people that call their prints HD Aluminum Prints. So if you just do a Google search, you're gonna be thrown to shops and different suppliers of different things all over the world. But if you type right into the URL, hdaluminumprints.com, and see us in Vancouver, and then that's the best way. You can order online. You can reach out online. Everything can be online. If you're local, you can come pick up. But the other thing you'll find is when you call us, generally you're going to have somebody answer the phone. So if you have questions, you want a little help, need some guidance on what your next steps are, give us a call.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Randy, so much for being here. What a great conversation. So much great information.
Awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, showing your artwork is so rewarding. And especially as young people come in and you see their eyes light up, you just know that you were inspired by somebody as you were, learning photography, and you inspire many others by continuing your craft. So thanks again for sharing all this information.
So much great information. This episode was loaded. I feel like I say that every single week, but we just had so many great guests, and Randy is just the next great guest to come on and give us so much great advice about selling some prints. And there was a lot of stuff on there that I picked up on that I'm going to do in my own work. I mean, the panoramas and stuff like that, that is such great advice, man. Like, I personally don't sell a lot of panos because I don't have a lot of them, but that's going to be something that I try. I think when I've got a couple art shows coming up this fall, I'm going to print out a couple panos and see how they do. Because like Randy says, is just so great to have that pano, have something a little different than maybe what other people have something that'll fill a space that not a lot of other artwork will. And yeah, in addition to that, there's just so much great advice. Really hope that you guys got a lot of use out of today's episode. Like I said, such a great episode. So thankful to have Randy Hopfer, owner of HD Aluminum Prints, on here. I've included all the links down below so you guys can check out HD Aluminum. And thank you guys so much for checking out this week's podcast. Please make sure to subscribe so that you get every podcast every Monday when they come out. You can see them all, be the first one to listen to them. Thank you guys so much for checking this one out. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Adios.